Three, two, one. We are live, everybody, and welcome back to Zachary Reality. It is your host, Zachary Reality, and we have a super fun podcast for you guys today. We're going to be breaking down Buying Beverly Hills Season 2, which just started streaming on Netflix over the weekend. 10 episodes are out, and I am here with a very special guest co-host to break it all down. You may know her from the Talk of Shame. It is Kiki Monique. Hey, girl.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. My cat is like hungry. It's like she like wants to be up here with me, but I'm just like, stay away.
We could, if the cat wants to come in, a third co-host would not be a bad thing. Okay, well, we're going to talk about Buying Beverly Hills. I'm so glad that you're here to break it down with me because this was a juicy season and I cannot wait to debrief. What did you think overall? Did you like it better than the first one?
Yeah, I mean, I loved the first season. Obviously, this one delved more into the Kyle and Mauricio, which we've all been wanting from Beverly Hills, Real Housewives. So obviously the fact that we got more than we got from an entire season of Real Housewives, made it that much more juicy.
That was definitely my first thought too, is that Mauricio was way more open on this series and we just got more answers, I think, than we did during a whole season of Beverly Hills. And I will say that, yes, it's frustrating of Kyle, but I will say that with this show, I feel like Mauricio has the support where like, he's the owner, right? He's the CEO. So he has all these people looking up to him, where on Kyle's show, they're all kind of even and they're all kind of coming after her. So I don't blame her for, maybe holding back when, that's kind of like my point.
Oh, and I also don't blame Mauricio for holding back because I'm sure he's getting a way bigger paycheck from his Netflix show than he is from, being a husband on Bravo. So if you're gonna spill it, then you're gonna spill it for the one that's gonna give you the bigger paycheck.
For sure. And I think the big thing we learned is that Kyle was the one who wanted the separation, which we knew. It doesn't seem like they still have kind of told us the exact reason. Mauricio just noticed that she was starting to check out of the marriage and before he was. It was like 6 weeks before he was kind of on the same page as her in wanting space.
Yeah, but I felt like we got a lot of explanation because also being able to see the entire fi family dynamic together. First of all, the Umanskis are drinkers, which look, I love because I'm a drinker too. But the entire family, I mean, first of all, seeing Sophia be hungover, I just, it's hard for me to picture her as like a grown adult. So it was very just like, what is happening? But they're partiers, they're drinkers, and to know that, Kyle has been sober. Obviously, that affects any relationship already. And it's like Mauricio is sort of taking off in a new direction in his life, and Kyle is wanting to slow down, So it all sort of started to come into place when we saw them all together.
But it's like, is Kyle trying to slow down? Because she's still doing Housewives and traveling the world. So it's just like maybe she doesn't want to party as much. And clearly they're just becoming different people, which is sad. I think, like, when you're with someone for so long to just grow apart, that's everyone's biggest fear.
I mean, I definitely think she wants to slow down. I mean, will she continue to do Real Housewives? Maybe another, season or two, but it's very clear that she wants to live, in the mountains, be a cowgirl, do the paddle boarding and chill out. And, it wouldn't surprise me if she wanted to set her daughters up for success. If buying Beverly Hills is where they're going to be most successful, it makes sense also that she would lend, more of her voice to that series so she could say, let me give you a head start so that you can take this series. Because in a way, every time they did just that shot you showed, I always felt like they were trying to be the next Kardashians. Didn't you feel that way?
Oh, for sure. Sophia even said to Farrah, "You're doing amazing, sweetie." They did that. But I actually love the sisters. I love the dynamic. I love all of them together. I think they're so much fun to watch. And I think that it's so fresh and new because we've seen the Kardashians, we've seen the Hiltons forever. And like, we've only seen very few glimpses of them on Beverly Hills Housewives. And seeing all the fourth wall break, talking about Kyle going back to film Housewives, talking about so like the gossip, remember when they were at that lunch? Like, I loved seeing Kyle as a mom, and we don't get to see that on Housewives as much.
It's so true. It was also just interesting to watch the entire, Farrah engagement because it was like her and Kyle were in the same sort of predicament where it was like Farrah was doing the thing of like, stop talking about my relationship. Everything's fine. when we find out it's not.
Yeah, which is sad as well that she's going through that as just like her mom is. Sophia joining the agency, I kind of want to talk about that right away. So she kind of comes in. She's the new sister in town. It's super fun, super fresh to have another perspective. But she shows up late to her first day. It's clear that she doesn't know what she's doing. I loved the relatable conversation she had when she was like, I just got out of college. I don't know. But what was your take? Do you think she really wants to be there and hustle like Alexia and Farrah?
Look, I think that this season was very much an exercise in watching Nepo babies. And look, and I say that, you have to own it. If you're a Nepo baby, you own it. And I feel like they do sort of own it in a way. You know, of course, it's always hard to watch because you're just like, girl, you got to go to work. You got to show up on time. It's not about looking good. But, you know, that is the life they know. So it is what it is. The thing is, I will say, is Mauricio seems very intent on making sure they understand what it means to work. So even if Sophia is behaving this way now, I don't necessarily think that she'll behave this way forever. Unless, look, she might decide she just wants to get married and be, you know, a kept woman. We don't know. She's young. She's only 24?
23, yeah. Give her a second, I think, to get settled in. But I don't know if I see that same hustle and drive in Sophia for this, for real estate, as I do with Alexia and Farrah. I don't think she wants it that badly, but I think she's young and she's just, you know, going to take her free ride on TV to just show up and be fabulous.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, the real estate, I think that's why Kyle even said, you know, if this isn't for you, you know, you don't have to do it. And, you know, it very well might not be. But yeah, why wouldn't you just go hang out at your dad's really dope, office with really hot guys and go on really fun trips?
Yeah. Plus, I think that she needs time to figure it out, but I think she added a lot to the drama. I loved the drama in this series. It was kind of like, you know, maybe 50-50 with the houses. And then there was a good amount of girl drama. I want to talk a lot about it. What was your thoughts on, you know, Farrah and Sophia being so in sync and during the trip in Miami when they forgot about Alexia? They were headed to the same place anyway, but what was your thoughts on that specifically?
You know, I thought it was funny, but then I also like, it did feel a bit produced, right? The whole idea of the middle child is such a, like, it's such a trope. And so I think for the producers, it was a really easy storyline, especially since Alexia is the one that's like really in this like relationship that she's, you know, in love with. So it made sense. And also like there, you know, again, I think they're trying to play on that Kardashian element. And a lot of times, you know, we would see, you know, one sister, you know, being closer with the other. In the beginning, it was, you know, Courtney was closest with Khloé. So, you know, you had that dynamic. Now, because Kim is single and Khloé is single, it's more like the two of them. So, you know, it works because you know, it's a tried and true method. So they did it and it works.
Yeah, I understand why Alexia was a little salty, but I feel like if they were headed to the same place anyway, and when you know when you're at a bar and it's been like an hour, like you're ready to go to the club, like meet me there.
I know, but see, I very much empathize because I'm that same way. I'm one of those people that if you leave me, I get very angry. So I was like on Alexia's side in that.
Even though she was with other people, other girls?
I don't care. If I say I'm coming downstairs and you leave me, I'm going to be annoyed.
Yeah, there must have been some drunkenness and some miscommunication, I think, there. You know, I did want to just jump back to this marriage real quick because I was truly shocked how the girls admitted on, you know, that they were finding things out on TMZ and they were finding things out in the news. Like, do you think Kyle and Mauricio are not telling the girls enough? Or do you think it's just not fair because they're in the public eye, so it just is going to happen?
I mean, if you think about it, would you really want your parents telling you all? I don't think I would. The problem is that people will sell you out or, you know, you might sell your own story. So like for it to be popping up on their phones, it sucks. But when you're in the public eye, sometimes you can't control that. But I don't think it was wrong of Mauricio and Kyle to want to shield their kids from their marriage problems.
Yeah. So my parents are divorced and I remember they sat down and told me, my brother, we were 17. I was 16 or 17. And they said that they were planning on getting the divorce for like 5 or 6 months before they told us. Right. I definitely had inkling suspicions, but if, you know, we're not in the, they weren't in the public eye. So it's not like I would have found out any other way. So I do think that because they're in the public eye, they honestly should be telling their daughters a little bit more. I think it's kind of unfair that I understand TMZ and whoever like kind of ask him a lot of questions and it's hard to lie, but I think they need to keep their daughters in the know a little bit more just because it is going to end up on their timeline.
I mean, you know, maybe Farrah, but I don't know I know the other girls are in their 20s, but you still have Portia she just turned 16. And so I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think Portia will join the agency one day?
I mean, you know, if it's around, why not? I mean, they said what? They were going to open up 36 more offices this year. You know, I don't know how you sustain a company that big. They already have 90 offices. By the time Portia is old enough, I mean, it seems like they could have, you know, multiple hundreds, maybe of 1,000 offices.
I honestly think Mauricio is working too hard. Like, I feel like he's so rich and he's just opening up too many offices. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you can sustain this. I just can't imagine there's this much real estate in the world. Like, it just doesn't seem sustainable.
But I feel like there is. Like, they have offices in Portugal and Aspen and Amsterdam. It's like, they seem like everything's going great.
I know, but it just, I don't know. The real estate world is so, like, because I'm also just like, well, what are we tearing down to make all of these houses?
Yeah, there's a lot of houses. Do you think that there's more legitimate sales on the agency than maybe selling the OC or selling Sunset? Do you think it's more legit as far as, like, transparency with real estate?
Well, I'm going to say yes, only because we just found out today that, you know, one of his agents, Ben Belichick, was actually Ariana Madix's realtor, sold her the house. Yeah.
Oh, so he did?
Clearly they're really working. Yeah. He had to take that post down because I don't think he knew it was going to get leaked today. He had to take that post down.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's definitely more transparent than selling the OC and selling Sunset. It's different. I do like seeing younger real estate agents. I like seeing the dynamic of like them being trained in different stages and having like, you know, those young people that make the show fresh and lively for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a favorite between all the real estate shows, or they're all just different?
I mean, they're all like kind of different. I will say that like this one, because it's newer and fresher, I feel like, again, we're getting we'll get a little bit more authenticity. And I like that they introduced some new characters this season that we hadn't met before. So, you know, it's more fun. But of course, you know, Selling Sunset at this point needs to bring Christine Quinn back. I've always wanted her. I never wanted her to leave. But I'm kind of just like at that point, if she doesn't come back, I don't know how invested I'm going to be, because I'm a little bit tired from the same arguments that are happening with the existing cast.
For sure. I think Selling the OC is really good because it is fresh and new. But you're right. I need Christine back. There needs to be a villain on every show. And this season's villain on Buying Beverly Hills is the one and only Michelle. So Michelle has worked with Mauricio for a long time. She says that she was at the start of the agency and she runs the Studio City office. She came into this season after not being on season one, wanting to kind of mentor Alexia, Sophia, and just kind of help them learn about the industry from a woman's perspective. It ended up being a flop. I don't know if maybe she taught them to be just really tough, because you just never know what to expect from certain people. But I don't think that I can't stand her. What do you think?
So obviously when Michelle came on the screen, she was like nails on a chalkboard. You're just like, what are you doing? You're too aggressive. And no. And obviously when she started like putting down the daughters, I'm like, what, if you think you're the best business person, then you should know that talking about the founder CEO's daughters in this way is not going to get you ahead in this game. But I will say, like, at the end of it, as I was trying to like process it all, the funny thing about reality shows is sometimes the people who are the most honest are the most hated. And the people who are like not as authentic come across as like the most genuine. And so I was like, while Michelle did everything wrong, she was just kind of like being herself. And, you know, I don't know. But she did it all wrong. Like, you just, you know, and I obviously like the conversation she had in the office about like, you know, the daughters are going to be business suicide if they take over, and, you know, Farrah is going to have a family and she can't run a business. I mean, that's not cool.
I mean, I don't know if they just needed a villain. You know, last season, Melissa, Farrah's best friend, kind of stepped into that category. And I don't think that she wanted to do it again. I kind of remember them saying that she stepped into it last year. So I don't know how authentic it was. As soon as Michelle came in, the music, the aggressiveness, the, you know, thirsty way that Farrah said she was inserting herself in this drama, mentoring Alexa. You don't give a shit about Alexia. You were just trying to find your way in. I think it was so inauthentic. And I thought that she was so mean. And I thought that maybe she truly was just kind of going into the character for the show because they needed a villain and someone had to do it. So I just can't imagine her as such a professional really being so unself-aware and off-putting. I don't think there was one redeeming or likable quality about her.
And that's the thing, because it's like, it is hard to buy because like we've already known that her and Mauricio have been friends for how many years, yeah. Right? And we, you know, obviously we can go in real time, look at her page. We see she still is a managing director at the agency. So you do feel like there's a bit of theater there because anybody else who said that about a CEO's daughter would be fired on the spot. So there is a bit of theater there.
There has to be. She had her comments limited. I was dying to know what the fans thought about her. I would never write something mean, but I really wanted to know if anyone liked her because I just felt that she was so awful. So with all due respect, I hope that she kind of addresses it in some way on a podcast and hopefully there's some redeeming qualities because I hope that she's not that, you know, vicious and cruel. I mean, even the way she spoke to Tyler with that phone call in the beginning, it still was like, I get it that she wanted to really like set her boundaries and now it doesn't have to happen again. She set the tone, but it's like, you can't speak to people like that.
Yeah, for sure. Not in this climate, for sure.
No. Let's get into some other characters. I'm kind of excited to hear your takes on some of the other agents. I want to hear your thoughts specifically on Sonica. She kind of lost the job. She got fired because, well, her boyfriend and her broke up. But then, you know, she just wasn't selling real estate. What do you think about Sonica?
Look, I mean, I'm sure she's a sweet girl. I just don't know if she is playing with a full deck because, like, it sounded like she hadn't sold a house, what, in a year? Over a year. So I don't know how you even kept your job. And then, honestly, the thing I was so fixated on was she breaks up with, what's his name, Kevin? Was that her boyfriend? She breaks up with Kevin. And even though it seemed like he bought the house, it seemed like he put her on the title because he was willing to like create a future with her. And then when they break up, she takes her name off the title. Who does that? That is just like not a good move, especially if you say that you put all of this interior design work and all of this stuff, you know, you put in sweat equity. So she just doesn't seem like she's all with
it. It doesn't seem like she really knows like what she's doing. And I don't think anyone has the patience or time to really train her when there's already so many other people that they kind of are training.
No.
Who have more seniority, like all the daughters. But, you know, Alexia does a great job. I really love her. But with Sonica, what did you think with this whole thing with Brandon? Do you think she deserved a cut of his commission?
Absolutely not. That was honestly the funniest part to me when he was just like, are you crazy? I'm not giving you a dime. No.
I loved Brandon. I thought he was great. We'll get into the Instagram thing in just a second. But I think with Sonica, it was just like every scene that she showed up, why are you here? Why are you trying? This is not working. Like, were they just trying to be nice? Like, I just felt like I couldn't help but roll my eyes every time she walked in. I'm like, here comes Sonica again.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, switching gears with Brandon, you know, he kind of got upset that Ben unfollowed him on Instagram. And, you know, Tyler tried to explain to him, like, that means an F you. All the girls had Brandon's back. What did you think about the unfollowing and how he handled it?
Oh, I feel the same way. Like, when I find out that someone unfollowed me, I get unhinged. And I know it shouldn't matter, but it is. Like, it's for me, like, the reason I follow so many people is because, like, if I don't want to see their stuff, I just put them on mute. Because to me, actively unfollowing someone means that, like, yeah, I want nothing to do with you. It's a statement.
So I feel like I get why people unfollow. I don't think it always means I don't like you. I think in this particular situation, you shouldn't unfollow someone that you work with and see every day and that you're filming a show with. I think that is kind of an F you. But I think that sometimes you just unfollow people and it's not always personal. So I just have learned to just not get upset. over time, right? Who cares, you know? But I do think in this situation, maybe there was a little bit of him being older and just not understanding. Because when Tyler tried to break it down to him, it went over his head and he was kind of stubborn about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because like, okay, yeah, if like random people unfollow you that you haven't talked to in years, who cares? But if it's somebody that you have a decent relationship with, and especially someone you work with, it's like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I went to Brandon's Instagram. I'm like, I followed Brandon and I was like, I love all your selfies.
Oh, I know. I saw your comment under Ben's. You were like, Brandon's Instagram is better. But he said it is. He agreed with you.
What do you think of Ben overall as the super realtor? He was he's really sensitive. Like, you know, especially with that. I loved his dynamic with Zach and their podcast. I'm like, your podcast is probably so boring, but I think the fact that they're filming for the show makes their podcast way more interesting, how they argue every time before they start record.
You know, it took a while for me to come. Cause again, with the whole Brandon thing, I was just like, but by the end, I was just like, he is just sort of like a teddy bear. And obviously the dynamic between him and Zach is, you know, it's fun. And so I think they were like, I know we saw Ben last season, but he didn't stick out to me. And I think now having Zach as his counterpart was like a good add.
Yeah, for sure. And because this guy, John, he was on it last year more, but he really didn't pop up this year. I wanted to see more of him.
Yeah. But he was not really existent.
No. But Zach, I thought, was a great character. It was very interesting. There was a lot of depth with the whole Hilton and Highland thing that Zach brought in, and he ultimately decided to stay with the agency, even though he was considering going elsewhere. I liked him a lot. What did you think about him in this whole, him bringing this element in?
Well, I think that was Mauricio being strategic. Like, do I think that Zach was ever really going to go over there? No. But do I think that he was given that offer and Mauricio finally got to tell his side of the story? Because again, Beverly Hills, we never got to hear why exactly there was this falling out between the families, right? Mm-hmm. And he knew that he had to get his entire story out and that Zach would be able to bring this element to show, like, see how Rick, you know, went against the gentleman's agreement. And immediately when he goes to start his own organization, starts poaching my people. Like, I think he really wanted to show that, but he didn't want to look like an asshole because he doesn't want to like disrupt the family dynamic, even though it seems like it was disrupted even by that little clip that we got teased.
Oh, yeah. Paris was pissed. And I thought it was crazy when she said like lame show, and like, she's supposed to be close with her cousins. And like,
yeah, no, I mean, that was the thing. But I was wondering if the cousins and her would have like sort of a falling out because of that.
I don't think the cousins will address it. I think they just know better. But I also think that buying Beverly Hills is more interesting than Paris in Love.
You know, Paris in Love, I didn't watch the first season, but I watched, I think, the second, because there's two seasons. I watched the second season. And here's what I will say. What I do like watching that show for is because you get to like see a side of Kathy you don't ever get to see. And I don't know, I think there's something when you look past what the show is trying to show you and you're just watching the characters, it's interesting, like interesting seeing Rick, interesting seeing Kathy.
Yeah. Do you think that this Mauricio trying to say his story about this is going to create a further divide between Kyle and Kathy with the whole real estate stuff?
I don't know, because now it's like you have this separation element working its way in and, you know, Kathy sort of being there for her, there for that. And so I don't know, because also, you know, when this is filmed, I don't know where Kyle and Mauricio stand now versus when they were filming either.
Yeah. I mean, I hope not. I hope it was just like a one comment by Paris and it doesn't get deeper than that, because it is sad when they cry for a while. So my thought is that I think Kyle and Mauricio are going to get divorced. I do think she's hooking up with Morgan. And I do think that she should tell us when she's ready. No, you know, there's no pressure. Like, you know, if she needs her time, it's not easy to kind of process that. If that, you know, coming out and dating, you know, outside of your gender, you know, for the first time. So I understand that Kyle needs time to kind of work through these things. But it is, you know, they gave us a lot. They opened up their marriage. People get frustrated all the time that they don't give enough. And I think that they are still putting a lot on the line for us as viewers for entertainment. So I will commend them for being open. Oh, the cat has showed up.
Absolutely. No, I think so too. And I also think that like, it doesn't even have to be a moment about Kyle coming out. I mean, she gets to experiment. I mean, look, mm-hmm. Lindsay Lohan had a whole experimentation with Samantha Ronson. We got to watch their entire relationship unfold, and now she's married to a man with kid. You know, like, I just think that sexuality is fluid, and yeah. Maybe you're just attracted to someone in that moment. And maybe she's been in relationships for so long, she doesn't know what she wants. So she's like, I want to see where this goes. And maybe she tries it out, and maybe she doesn't want to do it. You know, we don't know, but like, let her live that, you know, let her go that yeah. path. And, you know, she doesn't have to make any, like, it's not black or white. Like, I don't have to be a lesbian. I don't have to be bi. Yeah. I don't have to be, you know, I could just be living my life.
Yeah. Do you think they'll get back together one day? Do you want that for them?
No, I don't think they will, but it was sad hearing Mauricio talk about how, you know, they had plans to, you know, be the grandparents and the house that all the kids come to. But I do think they will still have that. I don't think they'll be together, but I do think they will come to a place, because I think they have a very strong relationship where when their daughters get married and have kids, they will still have a very, like, if, you know, they both seem to like Aspens, I think they'll both have Aspen houses, not together, but like, to, you know, close enough, you know, and I think they'll always be close to each other.
For sure. I mean, after that many years of marriage, all the kids, I feel like they still get along. They don't fight. So I think that there is a lot of money obviously involved. So it might take time to work out, but isn't yeah. that, you know, if they're not in a rush to sign the papers, then they're getting along and they can travel and live in different homes, then I get why it's taking time, because it's not always such a quick decision to get divorced and separated. So it was emotional, I think, to kind of see it. And I'm glad that we got it, you know, right after Beverly Hills Housewives, and because it really painted the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. A couple other juicy drama. So Melissa in Miami, she was flirting with Adam. Adam had a little flirtation with Sophia. I kind of wish that him and Sophia went on a date. What did you think of that whole storyline?
I just felt like Adam was too old for Sophia, and she is the boss's daughter. It just would have been an awkward thing. You know, if Adam just was a guy that like didn't work for the agency, maybe. I never actually figured out how old he is either.
He's 40 and then she's 23.
Yeah, I just feel like, look, I know that that's like the norm and all of that, but I just feel like she's so fresh out of school. Like, do it. Like, girl, like, live. You don't need to be with some 40-year-old. No.
Yeah, but I think it was probably just for the show. Like, we needed another dynamic. Did you think Melissa was, like, overstepping with Sophia? Or were the sisters maybe being too protective?
I don't, like, that was a weird storyline to me, because I felt like, you know, that's Farrah, supposed to be Farrah's best friend. And so I don't know, like, it just felt like we're all single, we're all flirting with the guy, like, who cares? Like, nobody wants, like, I don't know. I think Melissa did kind of want him, but.
Yeah, but if Adam talks to her for 2 hours, like, and then, like, and she said, like, Sophia's 23, like, what the hell? Like, I think they were kind of maybe being a little, dramatic about it with Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, the whole Melissa thing sort of like, that's when you realize, like, how scary the sisters are. Like, you don't want to cross them, and it came off of, like, because you could see Melissa being like, I'm so sorry. Like, she got apologetic quickly.
You mess with one, you mess with all. And I love how they did have loyalty to each other the whole time. They never even wavered. I love seeing the sister dynamic and the bond. I think it was really fun.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have, I know that there's Portia, but I think she's so young, you know, but anytime you see like a trio of sisters, because I know like a few like trio of sisters, it's always like, it's a wild dynamic, and they're generally pretty intimidating. And mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So let's talk about Joey. So he had some words with Alexia. He said that there was some overlap with Alexia, you know. She ultimately decided to not co-list that Malibu house with him because of some of the comments he made. I think he's a schmoozer. I think that he's an instigator. I think that he secretly wants to be with her and, you know, feels like she's the one that got away. But I also think he's so endearing and likable. And there's something about him that you can't help but like, even though he's such a douche.
I know so many guys like Joey, and exactly what you said. He's definitely still like in love with Alexia. But he's also in love with himself and he just like can't help himself. He likes to be the guy that says the thing that gets the attention and like all of these things. And yeah, like, it, you know, but he's young. So, you know, as soon as he like gets out of that, I don't know if he'll ever get out of that. Cause unfortunately I just think that works well in LA.
It works for him.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, he definitely puts his foot in his mouth too much. So I think he honestly should stop that. Cause once you get to a certain age, like you can't do that anymore. But I think that he is a really savvy businessman. He's young and I can see him being very successful in the future. Like he does have a good art for real estate.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they're doing fine because like my dream car is that Lamborghini Urus. I don't even say it, Urus. I don't know, but that Lamborghini SUV, and like they pulled up to a listing in it. So I'm like, that's a $300,000 SUV. So I think they're doing fine.
Did you see the ending of the show? Wasn't the last scene so confusing?
Wait, remind me what happened.
They were talking to, Mauricio was with the three daughters.
Oh, at the table. Yeah.
At the table. And they were just talking about like the future and it just kind of stopped. It was just,
well, I think that's because like it's Netflix and so they can get right to filming right away. Like that's the great thing about Netflix is like seasons can be pretty quick, especially when you have people who aren't doing anything else, you know, like you know who I was actually hoping to see? I was actually hoping to see Mercedes from Shaw's because I know that she works for the agency. And so I kind of hope that she might make an appearance, but maybe, who knows, maybe in season three.
Oh, I would love to see that as well. You think they'll get a season three? And when do you think they'll start filming?
I'm surprised. I'd be surprised if it hasn't already been greenlit.
Okay. I'm down for a little bit more. For sure. Okay. There was a couple other people I wanted to talk about. Tyler. I really like her a lot. What did you think about her?
Oh, I mean, I love her. She's super cute. Like, so like, you know, I love her. She's great.
She's really great. Super mature. Loved that, you know, she has a family and that she was trying to sell that house in Venice.
I was surprised she was married with a kid. She looked so young. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. Some of those houses I thought were like fun. Like there was Sierra Mar. And the other one.
Oh, yeah. There were some gorgeous houses. I mean, like, you know, I hope one day to live in a house in any of those houses.
Yeah. Also, Farrah. So she decided she wanted to end her engagement. We're not shocked by this. Obviously, you know, it seemed like something was off. What do you think it was?
You know, I mean, you know, I kept trying to like get a read, right? All we know is they had the engagement and then no planning was happening. So she's just engaged for long periods of time. And then she moves back into her own house. To me, all signs point to either he was just not that into her, which is like kind of wild because she seems pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause you know, she said that he was trying to make it work and then, you know, but then she ended it, but she didn't want to end it. So the fact that she didn't want to end it, but felt the need to end it, felt like he just wasn't into it, which is crazy. So it's like, did he just propose because he felt like he had to, he felt pressure? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's kind of how it felt when she was talking about it, that like she put all into the relationship, but unfortunately he wasn't meeting her halfway and he wasn't giving her he wasn't trying enough, I guess. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. And it's a weird time for her to be going through this. Cause like she said, she was so excited about getting married and then her relationship falls apart at the exact same time that her parents' relationship is falling apart. And her parents have been this model for her and everybody else in the world. And so it's an interesting time for her to be coming out of a relationship and trying to figure it out. Now we find out that, you know, Zach, who people think that her and Zach have a really good dynamic. Now Zach is having issues in his marriage. Now, here's what I'll say. I'm trying to figure out when Zach started having issues in his marriage because I thought Zach was really cute. So of course I started peeping his wedding band and I noticed he didn't have a wedding band on for most of the show. I don't know if he ever had one on. Maybe a couple confessionals he did, but I noticed, I was like, oh, he doesn't have a wedding ring. He must not be married. So then when he started talking about being married, I was like, oh, okay. I guess he doesn't wear a wedding ring. But then we find out, he goes to Farrah to be like, you know, we're having issues. So now I'm thinking maybe he's not married, and are we going to see a Zach and Farrah relationship? Is it already secretly happening and we just don't know about it?
No. Well, maybe. You know, he did seem like he was into her a little bit, or there was some jokes that people thought that, but yeah, I think he has to kind of figure out his issues at home first before he can kind of explore something at the office. Maybe he
did. We don't know. I mean,
we don't know.
I mean, I've been trying to stalk his Instagram. It's not like they don't say, I think that's why I also didn't know if he was married, because I felt like in his Instagram, it said like father, realtor. And I was like, I don't think it said husband.
Uh-oh. Well, they filmed this like a year ago. So
yeah. So,
well, they better get on season 3. I feel like I hate when it takes so long to get the shows, you know, when they film it versus when it actually hits TV.
Yeah.
So who is your MVP of the season? So your favorite person, or maybe if you have two, and then I want to know your least favorite.
Honestly, I really kind of liked Tyler, and I really kind of liked Zach.
Okay, that's good. I think I really loved all three of the sisters. You know, maybe I'm just a sucker for the sisters, but I just felt like they all did such a good job carrying the show. They all have such different personalities and they work together so well. So I would just put all three of them for me as a tie. Those were my favorite scenes. The drama, the sisters, and then everything else was good, just not as good.
Yeah, I get it.
Least favorite, Michelle. No question.
No, I mean, I think that would be pretty much the consensus. Yeah. I don't know. I think between that, Sonica approaching Brandon
Sonica
after the end really soured me. I was like, girl, ain't nobody giving. Like, literally, it was like one of his first sales on the show.
Brandon was great, too. He was one of my favorites as well. But yeah. Sonica was, she was kind of crazy, too, towards the end.
She was more of a flop. It wasn't even that she was like, flop. She was obviously a nice girl. She was just more of a flop.
I feel like they could have a reunion, maybe next year. But if they have a reunion, they need to talk about like the drama, you know. I feel like they still kind of, it's not like they still want to keep their Selling Sunset. I mean, not the Selling Sunset. They still want to keep their real estate vibe, professional vibe. So they don't fully dive into the drama. So maybe that's why they can't have a reunion, because whenever they have issues, they actually resolve them within an episode. Like they talk it out and move on.
Yeah.
You know? Where like other shows, they save the issues to be resolved at the reunion.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be pretty hard to like have an issue that's like lingering when you have to work with these people every day and literally invite them to your open houses.
For sure. Yeah. Overall, great season. Before I let you go, what do you want to see for the next season? If you can kind of make a prediction, or if you have a crazy storyline that you want to see, what would you want to see in the future?
I think I would see, you know, here's what I think we would see. We'd probably see Alexia get engaged. We might see a love affair blossom between Farrah and Zach. Mm-hmm. We might see Sophia struggling with the decision because she doesn't really want to go into real estate and trying to really find out what she wants to do with her life for real. And, you know, and not follow in the family footsteps and having to break that news to her dad.
Yeah. That'd be a good scene. That'd be really good to see one of them leave the company and be like, Dad, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
And look, I want to see Michelle come back and still try to fight it out to succeed and take over the company.
Fine. Michelle can come back. She should go on House of Villains. Okay. Don't you think?
She'd have to get a little more famous than she can.
Okay. Well, I will share some tea. Monica did pop up on House of Villains season 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Monica from Salt Lake.
Is it filming right now?
I think they'd finished filming.
Oh, okay.
So, but I think that she has potential, Michelle, for that. I'm just saying. But bring her back. Bring her back. thank you so much for coming on, recapping it with me. I really appreciate you. Where can everybody follow you? Plug all your podcasts. I know you're going to be on Reality Check with Radio Andy. So where can everybody listen?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Sirius every Monday on Sirius Radio Andy Reality Check. And then obviously I'm on TikTok and Instagram, The Talk of Shame. And I'm going to start doing more YouTube lives on also The Talk of Shame. So that should be coming soon.
Okay, perfect. Well, let us know. I would love to come on. And we have your Instagram in the description below so everybody can go follow you and keep up with the amazing Kiki. She has great content. So thank you so much for coming on. I will see you soon. And thank you everybody so much for listening and watching. And tomorrow we have the finale of The Bachelor. So we will be chatting very soon. Are you invested in the season? I know you like the golden one.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay. Okay, well, it's my Super Bowl. So I will chat with you guys tomorrow. Celeste says, thank you guys so much. All right, we love you, Celeste. I love your cat too. Bye. Aww.